The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're taking the piss for?
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
Do you know the correct words for the phonetic alphabet?
For the what?
You know, like F for Foxtrot, C for Charlie.
S, Sierra, T is Tango.
Is it not Sonora?
No, Sierra.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. That's kind of my point. I don't know the phonetic alphabet.
No, like I know some of them, just from watching The Bill and stuff like that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with The Bill. But yeah, like I know I got into a bit of an altercation with a call worker because I was trying to spell something out. So I used that alphabet. And when I got to N, I just used my own name. I went N for Neil. So they was like, M for meal? No, N for
Neil. That
is
the dumbest thing though. N for Neil, when it's close to M and there's already the word meal.
Yeah.
You set them up there.
And
you knew what you were doing.
So then I got the arse on. And I wanted to be rude.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, all right then, N for knobhead.
Did you realize in the moment what you were saying?
No.
That makes it better.
Yeah.
I tell you what, that story actually annoys me a little bit though, because I remember this was, Jesus Christ, probably 8 years ago or something. It was a while ago.
I think N's Nova.
I was on the phone to the bank and I was trying to obviously spell something out. And I was, right, so, right, before I say that, when I'm on the phone, don't talk to me. If you say one word to me, I lose the run of myself. I have no idea what the conversation I'm having is. And, you know, so I was trying to spell something out. And let me just say, I do not know the phonetic alphabet. So I was using any type of word I fancied. You know, I just would have thrown anything out there. Yeah. Neil started slagging me and going, that's not the right word. That's not what you use. So I'm like completely fucking flustered. I'm trying to spell something out for this person. They're talking to me. Neil's going, no, don't say that. That's the wrong one. How do you not know this? Come to learn now, like 8 years on or whatever it is, that you don't fucking know it. How dare you? How dare you try to shame me for not knowing the phonetic alphabet and you don't even fucking know it? You fucking little bastard.
It's actually funny if Megan's phone rings. Like, as a partner, I should be suspicious. But I'm really not because I just know what Megan's like. If her phone rings, she takes it to the bathroom.
I can't talk on the phone around people. I can't do it. I don't know what it is. But you ever you ever see those like videos and shit? And it is true. If someone's on the phone, you hand them anything. Hand them a fucking lamp and they'll take it off you.
Yeah.
It is true because you're doing one. You lose the run of yourself. But I will point out, how dare you? Why should you be suspicious of me just because I like to talk in private? That's not on. You shouldn't be suspicious of someone just because they want to talk in private.
Right. from guys I've worked with, their missus has been suspicious of them because they've taken the phone to the toilet when they go for a shit.
But what were they doing on their phone?
But this is what I mean. Like, I go on my phone when I'm in the bathroom.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, but I'm not suspicious
of
you.
Just looking through Facebook reels or Instagram
But
reels.
I'm not suspicious of you. But no. Do you know why? Because I'm a very trusting partner.
I was making a joke that I should be suspicious, but every time your phone rings, you dart off to the bathroom with your phone.
No, but I'm just saying you shouldn't be suspicious at all.
I'm not.
I've never given you reason to.
I know, I'm not, because I know you're odd.
I don't think that's odd. I think a lot of people lose the run of themselves when they're on the phone and have to like have a moment to themselves. I do it all the time. It doesn't have to be the bathroom. It's just that we live in a fairly small space and that's like completely isolated.
W's whiskey.
Is it?
Yeah.
The thing about it is, right, I don't know it. And to be honest with you, I don't give a fuck to learn it. I don't care to invest that much time. Yeah. I think it's fucking hilarious. People who do know it get really upset when you don't. Like, really. I thought you were one of them. Apparently you were just putting it on to shame me.
No, I do know. Whatever it was you used, I knew it was wrong.
You knew that one letter.
I know quite a few.
But clearly not all of them. You don't know N. You don't know N.
Nova. Nova.
Well, why N- the hell did you say Neil?
I was on the phone and I got
I'm
flustered.
On the phone. But that's what you're using it for.
So I just thought, my name. So I went, Neil.
You're not going to be in a conversation with someone and be like, N for Neil.
So I was like, all right, Nobed. N for Nobed. And then that failed. So yeah.
Anyway, my point being, people who do know the phonetic alphabet.
Get a life.
I mean, well, they have a bit of a complex about it. They are very, very snotty about it. They completely look down on you. So get a grip. I will never learn it.
Right. So for any of our listeners you've insulted.
Maybe I will learn it. Just so I can then act superior to everyone else. What do you reckon?
I'm surprised you haven't actually. But yeah, now you've insulted some of our listeners. Part two.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Part two. We are back for part two of William Leslie Arnold. What did you think of part one?
Well,
left you on a bit of a cliffhanger. Sorry. I didn't leave you on a cliffhanger.
You absolutely have.
I mean, essentially, the story could have ended there.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
That's what I mean. So out of all the two parts you've done, this one I'm the most anticipated for the part two because he murdered, disposed of the bodies.
He did indeed.
Got found out.
Yes.
The bodies were recovered.
Uh-huh.
He got sentenced.
He did indeed.
And he went to jail for life.
Yeah.
But there's a part two.
There is indeed a part two. That is, I mean, I think part two is going to be longer than part one.
So he must have done shit in prison.
We're going to find out. So where we last left off in part one, as Neil has pretty much just said, Leslie had been sentenced to life in prison for the murder of his mother and father, Bill and Opal Arnold. But there is so much more to Leslie's story. On the 9th of June, 1959, Leslie arrives at the Nebraska State Penitentiary, and he was given the number 20841. At the age of 16, Leslie was the youngest inmate to be held in this prison. In the same month that Leslie arrived in this prison, Charles Starkweather was put to death by the electric chair. If you're unfamiliar with Charles Starkweather, between December 1957 and January 1958, 19-year-old Charles and his girlfriend, 14-year-old Carol Ann Fugate, went on a murder spree, which also included the shooting of her parents and beating to death of her 2-year-old sister. Although Charles received the death penalty, Carol was sentenced to life in prison. Her sentence was later commuted to 30 to 50 years, which at the time was common for the state's pardon board to commute life sentences to a determined number of years.
It's a bit of a difference, that, isn't it? Like, if you were getting told you're sentenced to 30 years, you'd be like, fucking hell. But when they're like 30 to 50, it's like, well, I really hope it's the lower end.
Well, yeah, but she was sentenced to life, so you're going to take it, aren't you?
Yeah. But even if she wasn't, I don't know if I'm making a point.
No, I get what you're saying. You're saying that it's a 20-year difference there. 20 yeah. years is a long period of your life.
It's nearly double.
But I mean, you're going to take it if you'd been, well, maybe not, maybe you'd rather it, but I mean, unless you've been, you know, some people prefer a death sentence.
Yeah.
Rather than life in prison, but I don't know. I think some people, it's anything to get out of there to have their freedom. And Carol did. Carol has since been released from prison. So, like I just mentioned there with the state's pardon board, it was likely that Leslie's sentence would be commuted. He would need to serve 10 years before becoming eligible, but it seemed likely, with the prosecutor John Hanley even telling him, quote, "It's not going to be forever, Leslie." Now, while in prison, Leslie was described as being a model inmate. He predominantly kept to himself, he completed his high school education, and became a tutor for others. He also worked multiple jobs within the prison, including editor of the prison's newspaper. He put his talents as a musician to good use and played saxophone in the prison's band, the Felonaires.
What?
The Felonaires. Do you like that one? It's a good one, that, no?
No muscles stretched there, were there?
I mean, I like it. Felonaires, I think it was a good one.
No.
No, not about it?
No.
Oh. He also received visitations, including a childhood friend of his, Crystal's parents, who had become his legal guardians after the murders, and a nun who he had become close to. The nun said of Leslie, quote, "He was very personable and articulate. Some would say that's a con artist, but I don't think so." In 1964, Leslie filed an appeal. After his attempt was unsuccessful, he became frustrated and his attitude was said to have started to change, although he still managed to become a trustee, giving him additional privileges. The dorm for the trustees was located outside of the main building, which housed the low-risk inmates and was viewed as preparing them for their release. Leslie, now aged 24, had also struck up an unlikely alliance with another inmate. He became acquainted with a 32-year-old man named Jim Harding. Jim was convicted for the murder of a man during an armed robbery. Now, Jim wasn't too keen on Leslie at first, and he said of their differences, quote, "He was kind of a Boy Scout, and I was kind of a crook. He wasn't your run-of-the-mill con." The prison administrator, Chuck Wolfe, said, quote, "Everyone from the warden on down was protective of him, because he was so young and unsophisticated. He was just a kid."
But even probably would just look out for him.
He was 16 when he went to prison.
Yeah.
You know? From what I've heard of Leslie and seeing a picture of him at that age, he did seem a little bit more kind of timid, kind of more quiet, kept to himself. I mean, they did say that about his time in prison, he did predominantly keep to himself. He kind of, anything he did do was kind of improving himself and helping others for the most part.
Until you put a 22 caliber Remington rifle in his hands.
Regardless of their differences, Jim knew they had something in common: how badly they both wanted out of prison. And in 1967, they hatched a plan. While they spent their time in the day room or dining hall, Leslie and Jim finalised their plans. They worked with another inmate who was due for release in May. He will be able to do more from the outside. On the 5th of July, a personal ad ran in the World Herald. It read, NOF arrives July 14.
NOF?
NOF. It's unsure what exactly NOF meant.
NOF.
But this ad... What?
NOF.
NOF what? Why are you just saying as if you've worked out you've nothing to go on? You're saying it. Sounding it out. That's what they told us to do in school. Which is bullshit when it comes to the English language.
Yes.
Setting you up for failure.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, it was unsure what NOF meant. But this ad was a signal to give the go-ahead to Leslie and Jim. The next part of the plan. The released inmate would drive up to the fence of the prison in the middle of the night and throw over a parcel. Within this parcel was hacksaw blades and two rubber masks. The following morning, Jim, who was always up for an early morning walk around the grounds, was able to retrieve the item and hide it without anyone noticing. In the music room, located just off the day room, the windows were covered with two thick metal bars. Over the course of several days, the two skipped dinner and instead worked on cutting through the bars. After they had managed to get through the metal, they used chewing gum to temporarily hold them in place until they were ready to go.
Sounds like my school. It was held up by fucking Hubba Bubba, that.
Did you have any of them, you know, like the little fucking, what are they called? Prefabs or whatever. What was that? Is that what they were called? You know, the little like units, like almost like a little trailer unit they'd have?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, they're literally caravans.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you walked on them and the floor felt like fucking, like you were walking on a bouncy castle.
You could put your finger just through, straight through the wall.
Yes. It was common knowledge, but our school was held up by Hubba Bubba.
On the 14th of July, as stated in the personal ad placed, they were ready to move. Lights out was at 11 p.m. Before the guards made his rounds, they positioned their pillows and blankets in order to imitate the shape of their bodies and place the rubber masks to mimic their heads. Jim would later recall the mask he used. It was of Groucho Marx. He cut the mustache off to make it look, you know, less obvious. With the dummies in place, they managed to make their way to the music room, remove the bars, and slip through the window. They made their way to the 12-foot fence, topped with barbed wire. The fence was only about 30 feet from the window, but the area was well lit, and there was a guard tower about 100 yards with a clear view. They took their chance. They threw their coats over first. Leslie climbs over, followed by Jim. He was scraped up by the barbed wire, but that was the least of his worries.
Yeah, you wouldn't even think about it. Adrenaline would be well set in. But how the fuck they got up a 12-foot wall?
What?
12-foot?
Fence.
Oh, okay, they climbed it then. I thought it was a wall with barbed wire at the top.
No, fence.
See, that's where they went wrong, this prison.
Mm.
Use a wall, don't use a fence.
Well, bear in mind, they were the low security unit, so
oh, okay.
They had a little bit of an advantage there. After jumping the fence, they make their way across the train tracks and travel another 150 yards to where the previously released inmate sat in a car waiting for them. Jim stated, quote, "I couldn't believe he did for us. He must have been nuts." In the car, they remove their wrist tags and swap out their prison clothes. The adrenaline is pumping. They were equally anxious as they were elated in that moment. They couldn't believe they'd actually done it. At about midnight, they were dropped off outside the bowling alley where Leslie used to frequent as a child. Now, they didn't really know what to do or where to go at this point. They were just happy to be free.
I won't go where you're fucking, where you're from.
Well, they're not that far away.
Yeah, but...
You know, it's kind of just get me to a point that I know and from there, you know what I mean?
But I think that's the worst idea.
But it's years later.
People are going to be like, that's him who killed his parents. What's he doing now?
Well, he would have looked a little bit... he would have looked a little bit different. He was 16 and he's now into his 20s at this point.
I look the same.
No, you don't.
When I was in my 20s, I looked the same as when I was like 16, 17.
No, you didn't.
I think I did.
Leslie heads to the payphone and calls his childhood friend, the same one who had visited him in prison, Jim Child. There's a lot of Jims in this story, isn't there?
Yeah.
That's three fucking Jims.
And it's dying out now. Jimmy.
Is it? Yeah. Do you think, yeah? Not as common. James. You'd hear the name James. Not as common, but no one goes by Jim.
No. I think you have to be like over the age of 60 to be called Jim now.
I mean, Leslie, for fuck's sake. Anyway, Leslie tells him, quote, "Jim, this is Les Arnold. I escaped with another guy. I need your help." So, of course, Jim is like, fucking what? He'd only been to visit Leslie in the prison 6 days previous. So it's a bit of a...
Yeah.
What? Now, good old Jim, he doesn't bat an eye. And he replies, "I'll be there in an hour."
Good man.
He grabs a bag, throws in a few sets of clothes, packs a few sandwiches, and he, along with his girlfriend, set off to meet Leslie. Jim drives them to the train station, but there wasn't a train for another 6 hours. So they hop back into the car and head to the Greyhound bus depot.
I just want to say, me saying good man, not good man for helping a convict. It's good man for helping your friend, no matter what.
No, I mean, I agree with you. Again, I don't want to kind of praise him. He, shouldn't have done that, but it's that fucking level of ride or die for your friend.
Yeah.
Fucking Jim, huh?
I don't think I'd do it for anyone now, though.
Well, hang on now, because Jim doesn't stop there. Jim buys them their bus tickets, and they board the 3 a.m. bus bound for Chicago. He also gave them $40 and sent them on their way.
Fucking hell.
Fucking Jim. We all need a Jim in our life.
But at least he helped him and then distanced himself. He didn't go with. He weren't like,
Jim's already got his girlfriend and everything. Jim's set up.
Yeah.
He's good to go. Now, back at the prison, it wouldn't be until head count at 7 a.m. that it was noticed that Leslie and Jim were not, in fact, Groucho Marx lookalikes. Authorities searched by land and air across state lines. They checked vacant buildings, under bridges, and through the woods. But of course, they found nothing. They just couldn't figure out how they managed to execute such a smooth operation. And with the dummies in place, they also hadn't a clue of the timeline of the escape.
Yeah.
Leslie and Jim reached Chicago around noon. They entered a nearby church and told the priest that they were in need of accommodation for the night. They were given money to stay at the YMCA. The following day, they had both fulfilled their need for one another, and their time together came to an end, and they went their separate ways. Although they did check in with each other not long after, as they had previously arranged to do. But once they saw that one another was all right, that was it. They parted ways for good.
No, it was better splitting up. From my experience.
Leslie quickly settled into his new life. He obtained employment working in a restaurant and secured accommodation through a woman he had met. 2 weeks following their escape to freedom, the FBI were called in. When they checked who had been on Leslie's visitation list, they saw the name Jim Child, so they pay him a visit. Now Jim, old Jimbo, he kept his mouth shut. Quote, "I was a seminary student and I lied like crazy."
A what?
Seminary student, he was in training to become a minister.
Oh.
Old Jimbo.
But yeah, like on paper, okay, yeah, I visited him. He was my friend. Doesn't mean I had anything to do with his escape.
I mean, it doesn't, but he did.
Yeah, it did.
Well, in fairness to Jim, actually, he had nothing to do with the escape. He was just, after the fact.
Yeah.
So Jim's not saying shit. And they also don't have a recent picture of Leslie. Remember, like we were saying, he was a kid when he went into the prison. He looked a bit different by now. Nevertheless, the warden was confident that these two would be caught. Quote, "Neither one of them is a sophisticated enough criminal." By May of 1968, Jim Harding was now in LA. While out in a bar, a woman recognized him and phoned the police, and Jim was arrested. But Jim wasn't arrested based on his own escape. The woman who had spotted him believed him to be James Earl Ray, the man who assassinated Martin Luther King Jr. But it turned out that Jim had also just been on the run. So when they ran his details, they're like, oh, okay, you're not the guy, but we'll take you.
Oh, okay. Wait,
I mean, like, what
I thought he was going to say, they cleared him of that and then was like, right, you're on your way.
No. Jim was caught, but what are the fucking chances? You'd almost feel bad for him. That's fucking shit luck. But actually, Jim was kind of relieved to have been captured. Quote, it drove me nuts those 9 months, looking over your shoulder all the time.
Yeah, it would. Be exhausting.
I couldn't believe that, though. That's insane, isn't it? Jim was returned to Nebraska State Penitentiary, where he served a further 8 years before being released on parole. He was now free to live his life in peace. Jim went on to marry and had a long career as part of the setup crew at the Omaha Civic Auditorium. He had a love of golf and was a big fan of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. In 1997, Jim retired and moved to Oregon. He passed away due to cancer in 2008. As for Leslie, it's thought he had multiple close calls with the police, along with alleged sightings. But we can't say for sure just how accurate any of these accounts are. Other than these alleged sightings, no one knew what had happened to him. It baffled investigators for years. Into the 2000s, Jeff Britton, an investigator for the Nebraska Department of Corrections, became completely enthralled by this case. He sifted through phone records, fingerprints, and sought an age-progressed image of Leslie.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
He contacted those who had known Leslie for a better understanding of who he was as a person. Although he was never able to track Leslie down, he did discover that in December of 1968, a US citizen had registered in Brazil as a resident alien. The name on the document read William Leslie Arnold. So it's potentially a piece of the puzzle, but that was a long time ago, and if this had been him, who knows what happened next? Did he settle there?
Yeah,
was it a stop on the way to the next place?
Yeah. See, that's why I wouldn't be good as a detective. Because if I got onto a case like this, I would be so fixated. It'd end up ruining my life, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'd be like, what was his name? Do you remember that guy in the Son of Sam case?
No.
Oh. In 2020, U.S. Marshal Matthew Westover took over the case. He said, from day one, I was hooked. Now, the fact that Matthew had been given this case, it was almost a piss take. Like, here, have a crack at that.
Yeah.
The likelihood of them catching him was slim to none.
Yeah.
Of course, since the 1960s, there's an array of different investigative techniques and avenues to explore. So Matthew decides to go down the route of ancestry. He met up with Leslie's brother Jim, who was happy to provide a DNA sample. But when he entered into the database, he received no match. But then, 2 years later, in 2022, the sample receives a match. And the person who matched with this sample also sent an email. In this email, the person said that they were looking for more information on their father, and that all they really knew was that he had been an orphan from Chicago. So it turns out, Leslie was a dad.
Oh.
Oh. Now, Leslie's son didn't actually know he was emailing a US Marshal. He assumed it was a family member over in the States.
Right, okay.
But with this correspondence, Leslie's story was finally coming to light. They learned that Leslie had passed away on the 6th of August 2010 at the age of 69, and that he had been buried in Queensland, Australia.
Oh, they were never going to find him then.
This, I mean, what the fuck is going on, Leslie? They also learned that his name was no longer Leslie. It was John Vincent Damon, and had been since the 60s. After his name change, John met a woman, married on the 25th of November 1967, and became a father to her four children. They then moved from Cincinnati to Miami. Their marriage ended in divorce in 1978. John moved on to LA, where he met someone new, went on to marry, and have two children, a daughter followed by a son. Moving into the 90s, John moved to New Zealand before finally settling in Australia. A few years down the line, John found employment as a salesman. Now, his second wife and kids had no idea about his past.
I bet they wouldn't. He's not going to tell them, is he?
Don't, I mean, to not even confide in your partner?
I wouldn't tell you.
Okay, so you could be right now. I don't think you should be doing a podcast now. I don't think you should be putting yourself out there like that.
I don't think I would. If I'd see it as, like, once he changed his name and everything, that's it. Like, anything before that, forget about it yourself.
Oh. Okay. I mean, hopefully you're not a criminal or anything like that, but... But with that, the fact that his family knew nothing about his previous life meant that Matthew, the US Marshal, had to find a way to not only tell them who he was and that he was not in fact a relative, but what their father had done.
Well, I was just about to say, I wonder how that conversation went when he first met his wife and she was like, oh, I want to meet your parents.
Well, he had told them that he was an orphan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. I forgot that bit.
So Matthew identifies himself to John's son, and he tells him that his father was wanted for escaping prison. He told him that, yes, he was an orphan, that is true, but it was of his own doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I can't even fucking imagine the shock that hit this family. Also, bear in mind, you know, Leslie/John is now gone. So they can't even go to him and go, hey, dad, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, you could mention something about it.
Yeah.
His son would later say, quote, there's no warning label on the DNA test kit telling you that you might not like what you find. But I don't regret doing it, and I'm glad I know the truth about my dad. I want him to be remembered for being a good father and provider to us, and instilling in me a passion for music, and a drive to always be the best person I can be.
See, like, this would always be a mystery if the son hadn't have done the DNA thing.
Yeah.
It'd just stay unsolved. In Australia, they'd have never, ever figured that out.
It's fucking crazy. This case is wild. This is only in 22.
Yeah.
You know? Matthew said of Leslie, quote, I think, ultimately, he became the parent who he wanted to be. Or the one he wished he had. Because from everything I've noticed, it seems like he was a good provider and a good father. He raised some pretty great kids. As for Jim Arnold, after the murder of his parents, Jim was also left without a brother. He was sent to live with his aunt and uncle in Kansas, who, by the way, he didn't really know them.
Right.
It's pretty fucking tough going on Jim.
Kansas as well.
Jim would go on to marry and have two kids. He became a music teacher, a passion that he'd shared with his brother. For the majority of Jim's life, he kept the story of his parents' murder a secret, instead opting to tell people that they had been killed in a car accident. Of course, bottling things up can take a toll on a person, and it wasn't until the late 90s that Jim decided to seek professional help. He realised it was finally time to let his guard down and talk about it. By the time Jim had told his own kids about the murders, they were in their 30s.
Fucking hell. It's not really something you're going to tell your child on a bedtime story.
I mean, there's so much trauma, you know, fucking bleeding out to all these different people. Even, you know, Leslie / John's son.
Yeah.
Wife and his daughter. You know, they were, from what it sounds, leading this nice life. They loved their dad. It was a great life. And then you suddenly find this out, even if it doesn't taint your memory, you still love your father and all that.
Yeah.
It's still a bit of trauma. Like, you're still going to be like, I need to get my fucking head around this, you know?
Any word from Crystal?
No, I didn't hear anything about Crystal afterwards.
Oh.
I don't know if she's since passed or...
I wonder if he hit her up when he got out of prison.
I don't think so.
That's how I'd get caught. That's how I know for a fact. If me,
what, trying to find me or trying to find an ex?
No, if me and you were together.
Yeah.
And I went inside. And what was he in? 10 years?
Yeah, about 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, and then I got out. I'm coming straight back to you.
Yeah.
And I'd get caught because you would rat me out.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I ain't no Jim. Before the discovery of what really had happened to Leslie, his brother said, quote, I think about the whole situation almost every day. I have forgiven him, but I don't want him to show up. Jim Child said, quote, I've never heard a word from him, and I don't expect to. I do wonder what happened to him. I hope he's in Argentina or Canada, somewhere they can't ever get him.
I never got my $40 back. Les, if you're watching this, where's my $40?
You can email it to me, or you can fucking mail it to me at... Another childhood friend, Frank, said, I know he was smart. Who knows? That's wild to me that they're like, all of them seem to have this sense of him, like, he was so intelligent. Yeah. I know he was plotting some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Leslie's cousin, Paul Wisner, said, I think everyone would be better off if he's not found. I'd like to think he had gone beyond what he was at that time. Didn't hurt anybody else. Didn't do anything he shouldn't have. I'd like to know he'd done okay by the world. Following the murders of Bill and Opal Arnold, the house was not torn down. Instead, it was put up for sale. It was purchased by Martin Schmitz. He and his wife have lived there for years. They've been told the story of the murders every which way by their neighbours, and they have stated that they are not bothered by the gruesome history of the house.
The Schmitz.
Schmitz.
Okay.
Now, Jim actually did go back to the house one time to visit it and kind of just, I suppose, as part of his therapy kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, the new owners are very welcoming of him, and they said you can come back anytime. But Jim was like, I won't be back. This was a one and done situation. Yeah, yeah. Closure, you know?
That's exactly what it was. Closure.
Yeah. Closure.
Yeah. You taking the piss for?
At the age of 79, Jim Child said of his involvement, quote, I have some ambiguity about it, but nothing that approaches guilt. Fucking Jim. Jim is the real MVP of this fucking story, I'm telling you now. Jim had kept this close to his chest for years, not even confiding in his wife. It was only in 2005, when he found out that a reporter was collecting information on the case, that he finally spoke out. He did so knowing that the statute of limitations had run out. He said, quote, if they want to come after me, they're welcome to. Fucking Jim.
I know my rights.
I love Jim. I think he's fucking hilarious. Although a horrific crime was committed, Judging from those who knew Leslie or John, whether it be from his childhood, his time spent in prison, or during his life after reinventing himself, it seems most likely that Leslie was not necessarily a bad person, just a kid with complex feelings of frustration, isolation, as well as a deep-seated resentment. This unfortunately resulted in him making the devastating decision to take the lives of two people. I am by no means trying to downplay what Leslie did, but as prosecutor John Hanley said, quote, "When you build up all that resentment, sometimes it just blows up. That's what happened to poor old Leslie."
Same as a valve. Needs a release.
Well, of course,
or it's going to blow.
Of course, it's all about perspective. From the outside, I can see a teenager who was struggling and upset. And I mean, with all the different emotions, it can be difficult to be a teenager at the best of times. And I have great compassion for him in that sense. But then you have to look at it from Jim's point of view. Leslie didn't appear to have been a very good brother to him. And because of Leslie's actions, Jim's life would forever be altered.
Yeah.
And that is the case of the murder of Bill and Opal Arnold and the story of William Leslie Arnold, also known as John Vincent Damon. What do you think? It's a wild story.
Like, yes, he committed murder. But would you class what his mother was doing to him, would you class as abuse? In some way?
Neglect, definitely.
She was definitely like prodding and poking at him.
Yeah. Emotional abuse, yeah. It's a hard one because it's kind of like there's part of me that's like Leslie definitely needs to be able to control his emotions better.
Yeah.
But to what extent was his mother, you know, I don't know. Because Jim seems to be kind of more, he seems to be the one that's hardest on Leslie.
Mm.
Is that just because of what Leslie, you know, he took away his parents and doing that also took away his brother? Or does Jim know more of the family dynamic and is like, Leslie was X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
I don't, you know.
Like, I don't know. He definitely had a tick in his head because the amount of arguments I had growing up with my mom or with my dad or with my brother, the amount of, in the 9 years I've been with you, the amount of arguments I've had with you, never once has the thought of putting harm on you popped into my head. So he definitely had some sort of tick in his head.
It's a weird one because everyone else says that, you know, after the fact, I mean,
yeah.
You know, he was lovely. He was this, he was a wonderful father. He was a great provider. He was, you know, he, like they said, his son said, you know, he instilled that love and that passion for music. So he obviously took the time to also enjoy time with his kids.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? He didn't just do the bare minimum. He clearly wanted his kids to have experiences and enjoy their life.
Yeah.
But then you have people going back years saying, he was a bit high strung. He was like, I think they'd word as he was wound very tight.
Yeah.
You know?
Odd,
yeah. There's a few, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a final opinion on it. I kind of like Leslie in a sense, but it's also like, I don't want to diminish what he fucking did.
Yeah, we'll just
but then.
We'll
but
just
then you also have that he was a kid.
Yeah.
He's a fucking kid. He literally, his brain isn't fully developed.
Well, what we'll do is, we won't say whether we agree with it or not. We'll just end it with, we love Jim.
I would die for Jim. No, Jim was fucking great.
Yeah.
You know? And I think in a case like this where it is kind of like, you know, I don't know what way I'm swaying. You got Jim to come in with his bullshit and kind of just, you know, give you a bit of relief from the situation. I do want to mention, though, one thing that really, really bothered me about this case.
Go on.
So the day of the murder, 14 shots were fired. And you're telling me that none of the neighbors, no one heard it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That's a little bit sus to me. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Mm.
He's not going to have a suppressor.
This isn't like a fucking farmhouse out in the shticks, lads. There was neighbors. How did no one hear it?
That's a really good fucking question. Because, yeah, he wouldn't be tactical up with suppressor.
14 shots.
Yeah. Consecutively.
No. 14 shots. No, it was, yeah.
Six in the chest.
Yeah, six, the and then one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quick math.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Right. Oddity.
Oddity?
Yeah.
Okay. Just leave you with that to fuck you up. You thought we'd finally got closure. I mean, all them fucking years later, we find him.
Yeah.
And now I'm just throwing that in there. Most prolific mother ever, according to Guinness World Records.
Ed Gein's mom.
No.
Oh.
We're talking about Mrs. Vasilyev, who allegedly birthed 69 babies.
Oh, is that what it means?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it meant like, I thought prolific was a negative.
No,
thing.
You because you hear it so often relating to murderers, okay. Serial killers. Yeah. So some sources cite her first name as Valentina, but this is not known for sure. Although the story may be hard to conceive.
Yeah. Conceive.
You see what,
yeah.
I did there, yeah? Did you enjoy that? Hilarious. Did you like that? I have that one for nothing. There are records that lead us to believe that there could be some truth here. A letter dating back to 27th of February 1782 detailed the births and how it was possible for her to have birthed this many babies. She was said to have had 16 pairs of twins, 7 sets of triplets, and 4 sets of quadruplets.
Fucking hell.
Totaling a staggering 27 pregnancies.
Can you imagine what it'd be like?
But I can't. The woman was pregnant for 18 goddamn years of her life. 18 years over a 40-year period. That is insane.
Yeah.
She must have been fucking exhausted.
Yeah. Jesus, put her down.
So if this story is true, it's most likely that she was prone to hyperovulation, meaning she released multiple eggs at once, upping the chances of a multiple birth pregnancy.
Had to.
Well, something else surprising to come from this story, given that it was the 1700s, 67 of her 69 children survived.
Oh, because it was a higher rate of, yeah.
Yeah, like mortality, just fucking.
Yeah.
They
didn't know what they were doing.
Infant mortality rate was not great.
Back then, they'd just be like waving sage over you and stuff.
Well, she was also said to have lived to the age of 76. Grand old age back then.
Yeah.
Now, her husband, clearly not content with his first 69 children, went on to have a further 18 with his second wife.
Fucking hell.
So in total, 87 children. Someone come and get this fucking man.
So he it's him. He's got super sperm.
It's this fucking guy. Like, again, stop him. Someone. Although this is considered to be true, It is incredibly hard to believe.
He's got swimmers like Michael Phelps.
Well, never mind him. No one gives a shit about him. It's the women who've actually had to carry and birth these babies. His job is fairly easy. He's no one really gives a fuck about that. You can go to a fucking sperm bank and just keep fucking donating and be much more prolific than him. A typical fucking man focusing on him. A woman births 69 babies and you're like, oh my God, his sperm is fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, it's considered to be true, but it's just, you know, it is very hard to believe. The likelihood of her not only getting pregnant that many times, but they're all multiples, that she survived the labors and that the majority of the babies survived infancy. It was the 1700s, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
It's a bit dodgy, but what do you think?
I think it's make-believe.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, I came up with another theory.
But it's real.
Well, yes and no. Not that she birthed them all, yeah?
Mm.
But what if, for whatever reason, they wanted to be like really prolific?
Yeah.
That they were just, you know, snatching babies. Passing them off as their own.
See, this is you just trying to fucking pull shit out of thin air because it's a true crime podcast.
Statute of limitations has run out in this case. Now, do you not think that's a possibility?
No.
Oh. You don't think it could have been a baby snatcher?
What, and no one said shit? Anyone was like, they nicked my baby.
What if they were killing them? See, right, these people were peasants, yeah? They could have been doing to other peasants. So no one gives a fuck about a peasant, do they?
But if they're a peasant, why are they having so many kids?
I mean, because you got to get them out to work.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if one does die, you're like, well, I got five more.
I think you're trying to start a fucking army.
I mean, this is I'm telling you, lads, I'm leaning into the baby snatching thing. I think it's taking a true crime turn.
Yeah.
Now, I've had said my bit now, but no. So you think it's just bollocks? You think it's not true?
Probably.
Or do you think it could be partially true and it's been inflated?
I think that many birthing that many kids, I think it'd kill you. I don't think you'd survive it. And then to find another woman to do another 18. Bollocks.
He was very charismatic. Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.